Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny guy, the blessings are running down. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm laughing at the cover of what wants to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no that me I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cold.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me tonight or whenever you are listening to this broadcast. I appreciate the Lord for all that He has done, and I appreciate all of you for continuing to study the Word of God with me. Truly, God is good. He is awesome, and He is all that, and I just give Him praise and glory for each and every day that He allows us to be able to study the Word of God together. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just magnify Your name tonight. I thank You, Lord, for being God Almighty. I thank You for being creative, heaven and the earth. I thank You, Lord God, just for loving us so much and just for being so gracious and kind to us. I pray, dear Lord, that You would truly touch in a wonderful way, Lord, each and every listener that listens to this broadcast. I pray that the peace of God would just drop down in their houses, Lord God, that the peace of God would just be in their hearts and in their minds. Lord God, I thank You for just allowing us to be able to have sweet fellowship together, Lord, through the airways. I thank You, Lord God, that we're able to still study the Word of God and praise Your name together. Lord, I pray for those listening all over the world, Lord, for those listening in the Caribbean and in Africa, in Asia, Lord God, in Europe, Lord, in countries abroad, Lord, all over the world, I pray for individuals that are seeking Your face right now. Oh God, that You would help them to understand the Word of God, to understand about Jesus. I pray right now, Lord God, that You would truly remember them. Father, You know, Lord, our listeners that are in Kenya and our listeners in the UK. You know our listeners all over the United States, Lord Jesus, listening, Lord, from Texas and Michigan, Lord, in Georgia, and Father, in Boston and Tennessee and all over the United States where people are listening in Maryland and Father in Florida. Lord, wherever they are listening, I pray that You would truly bless them. Strengthen them, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we pray even for those that are sick, Lord God, that they would be fully healed and restored. We thank You, O God, because You hear us and You answer prayers. And Lord God, we just appreciate You tonight. And Lord God, bless Your people once again, I pray. And Father, I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, like I said, thank you again for listening to this broadcast. Thank you for continuing to study the Word of God with me. I pray that you will be blessed as we look at the Word of God. If you would, turn your Bible with me to the book of St. John. The book of St. John, I'm going to be reading almost the entire chapter, it would seem as if. But I want you to just read the Word of God with me. As we are in the Passover season, getting ready to do Easter, or some don't like to use the term Easter, they like to use Resurrection Sunday. Whether you say Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I am just so glad that we are in this season where we can celebrate the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as you prepare for Passover, as you prepare for Resurrection Sunday, that your family will be safe and that your family will be blessed. St. John chapter 11, beginning at the first verse, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, said he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, verse 35, I just want to note that it is the shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said Jesus, Behold, how he loved him. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. I have read in your hearing, St. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 45. St. John chapter 11, verses 1 to verse 45. If we were to use a topic today, our topic would be preparing for Jesus. Preparing for Jesus. The Bible tells us the story. It's a very wonderful story indeed. It is a story that reminds us of the human side of Jesus, because we know that when he came as a suffering Messiah, yes, but he came and was born into the world of a virgin, lived and did his ministry. He started his ministry at about the age of 30, and he preached for a couple of years before he was crucified. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, was fully God and fully man. Fully God and fully man. He had that human nature because he took off his robe of glory, as we like to say, and he put on divinity and he walked among us. John chapter 1, if we flip back a little bit to the book of John chapter 1, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then if you go down to about the 14th verse, the Bible says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we see that Jesus, who was from the beginning, God himself, that nothing was made without him that was actually made. And when we say that, we're referring to the earth and all the living things within the earth. We realize that there was nothing made without God, and that Jesus was there from the very beginning. And the Bible declares that he was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so when we're talking about Jesus being fully human and fully divine, we're referring to the fact that he was from the beginning God himself, and that he also came down and walked among us. And so John chapter 11, as we have studied in the past, where we talked about the miracles that Jesus performed, how he did open the blind eyes, he did, you know, do many, many miracles, that the human side is sometimes shown to us. And this was a good example in St. John chapter 11, because we see how the Bible declares that Jesus loved, you know, he was friends with Lazarus. He was friends with Mary and her sister Martha, and the Bible tells us that he really loved them. And how do we know that? Because in verse 3 it says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And so we see that Jesus was attached to this family. He really liked this family. Whenever he was in this place, you know, these were some people that he actually communicated with. He actually had dinner at their house. This was a family that he shared sweet fellowship with. And we realize that Jesus is no respecter of persons. And so he did not love this particular family above any other family. But it is important to note that he did, in fact, have a relationship with this family. And so the Bible lets us know that Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, became sick. And I imagine them sitting by his bedside, watching him decline, watching him get sicker. And suddenly it dawned on them that their brother did not have to die, and that they could send word to Jesus, and that if they sent word to Jesus, Jesus would actually come and perhaps keep their brother from dying. Since he was a man that performed miracles, perhaps he would come and save their brother. And so prior to Lazarus dying, they sent word to Jesus in hopes that he would drop what he was doing and rush to their house to save their brother. Now, the interesting thing is that as much as Jesus loved this family and loved their brother Lazarus, he did not drop what he was doing and he did not rush to their house. The Bible says in verse 6 that he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, that's amazing to anyone who would read this. Why would you hear that someone who you love is very sick? And I imagine it would be sick unto the point of death. And yet you don't make any attempt to actually go and see this person, to actually go and try to help this person. Jesus did not move. He did not make an attempt to go. And so when he finally did decide to go, his disciples actually questioned him and said, you know, the Jews have been after you. They have wanted to kill you. They have wanted to get you. They might even set a trap for you and kill you. Why would you want to go? I want you to know something, dear friend, that Jesus knew when his hour was going to come, and this was not it. And so he declared that he was going to go anyhow because he needed to go to the house of Lazarus. Dear friend, I do not know the challenges that you have been facing in your life, but I want you to know that if there is a situation that you're facing that might seem impossible, that might seem as if you cannot overcome it, I want you to understand that God does specialize in things that seem impossible. I want you to understand that your situation is not impossible. It's not over. God is going to resurrect your situation. He is going to help you. Just when you thought that it was time to throw in the towel, just when you thought that everything was over, I want you to know, dear friend, that God is going to turn things around for you. The Bible declares that Jesus stayed where he was. Why did he stay where he was? Because he wanted them to see that it was not the doctors, it was not the people, the diviners, or the people that were able to do all kind of witchcraft and magic or what have you. It wasn't any of those people that helped Lazarus, but it was he who says that I am the resurrection and the life. He who says that I can do all things, that I can help you, I can strengthen you, I can save you. This same Jesus, he wanted them to know who he was. He wanted God to get the glory. Whenever you find yourself, dear friend, in a tough situation, I want you to know that God will step in right on time and that God will help you. This was a tough situation for this family. They were a close-knit family, and as you know, back in those days, when you had a male in the family, that male was pretty much the protector of the females. And so, really, Mary and Martha were going to find themselves in a difficult situation without their brother, because their brother would have been the male person in the family to be their protector, to be the person to handle business matters with other men and what have you. And so this was a very difficult time for them to lose their brother out of their household. It was not going to be good for them. Besides the fact that they would miss their brother, you've got to also look at their finances, how they would eat, how they would live. There were a lot of different factors that were involved in them losing their brother. And so Jesus understood the dynamics of them losing their brother. He understood the entire situation. But, dear friend, he stayed 2 days longer until Lazarus died. You might be in a tough situation, dear friend. You might have been calling on God for years. You might have been calling on God for months. You might have been calling on God for weeks. And you're saying to yourself, why is God not answering me? I want you to know, dear friend, it is not that God has not forgotten you. It is not that God has not seen your situation or seen your plight. I want you to know that he has seen you. He does know what you're going through. He does understand everything about you, and he is going to help you just in the nick of time. Just when you think that help is not coming, I want you to know that God has already dispatched angels. God has already sent your help. Your help is on the way, dear friend. Don't give up. Don't give up. Prepare your heart for Jesus. Prepare your heart for changes, positive changes in your life. Prepare your heart for the miraculous, because God already has your miracle on the way. He already has doors that he's opening in front of you. Wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage. God will strengthen you. God will help you. Now, look at the scripture. The Bible says that when Jesus finally showed up, that Martha went to meet Jesus, but Mary stayed in the house still. So I've got to think that one of them was angry, and perhaps it was Mary. Because if you send word for someone to come and help you, and that person ignores you, it's going to cause some hard feelings. And so there were some hard feelings there. Mary, when Jesus actually got to the house, Mary said to him, you know, if you had been there, our brother would not have died. Martha said to him, Jesus, if you had been there, our brother would not have died. So both of them were a little bit upset. One might have been a little bit more upset than the other, but both of them were a little bit upset with Jesus because he did not come immediately. dear friend, you might find yourself in a situation where you are a little bit angry with God because you think that God did not come as quickly as he should have to get you out of your situation. But I want you to know, dear friend, that you don't need to be angry at God. Everything God does, he does it for a reason. Everything God does, he does it because he wants to get the glory. He wants you to understand that he is going to work out your situation for you. He wants you to understand that he is going to help you. But he wants you to wait. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to keep believing. You see, when you stand on the promises of God, dear friend, it doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is what you believe in your heart. Do you believe that God is able to take care of your business? Do you believe that God is able to restore your family? Do you believe that God is able to strengthen you? The bottom line is, dear friend, that God is able to do all of that and more. God is able to do great things in your life. I want you to continue believing God, continue trusting God, because God wants to help you right now. The Bible says in verse 23, after they had questioned Jesus and said, hey, I can't believe you didn't come quickly. If you had been here, our brother would still be alive. Jesus said in verse 23, and this time he was answering Martha, he says, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And so, of course, Martha says, well, yeah, I know he's going to rise again. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Jesus said to her in verse 25, I'm in St. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Wow. Isn't that a mouthful, dear friend? Isn't that a mouthful for us to understand that even when we have a dead situation, God is able to bring it back to life? Even when we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, Jesus was able to forgive us of our sins and to bring us back to spiritual life. Dear friend, he is the resurrection. He is the life, and he wants you to acknowledge him right now. He wants you to understand right now that he wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to believe in him. Look at verse 26. It says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, what is Jesus talking about that we shall never die? We know that from the time that we are born into this world, that we are going to die a physical death. But what he says is that our spirit, our soul, shall live forever. So those who put their trust in Jesus shall never die. Dear friend, when we leave this world, whether through old age or whether through natural causes, as far as, us sleeping away and going on to our journey, or whether we die because of an illness or what have you, however we leave this world, dear friend, none of us know how we're going to leave this world, but however we leave this world, the bottom line is that when we have made our peace with God, when we have asked Jesus to come into our hearts and to forgive us of our sins and to serve him, after we have done that, understand this, that soul that God breathed into you when you were born, oh, hallelujah, even when you were in your mother's womb, that soul that God put inside of you, your spirit man, that soul will live forever. When your body goes into that grave, whether it's 100 years from now or whether it's 50 years from now, whenever it is time to depart from this world, dear friend, what they put into that box, what they put into that coffin is just a corpse. It is just a shell that was meant to hold you until it was time to go on to glory to be with God. Isn't it wonderful, dear friend, to realize that what Jesus has promised to us, what God has promised to us in his word, that it is true, that we shall not die, but we shall live forevermore. Jesus wanted us to know that if we would prepare for him, if we would open up our hearts to him, that we shall live forevermore. Look at verse 27. It says, she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So what she is doing is declaring that I know that you are the Messiah. I know that you are the one that we have been waiting for. We have some folks that are still waiting for the Messiah. But here it is in black and white. The Bible tells us this lady was of, you know, the Jews. She was not a Samaritan. And the Bible tells us that she realized that he was the Messiah. And so if you know people who are still waiting for the Messiah, you must tell them the truth. Tell them that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has already come and that he is declaring that those who believe in him should live forevermore. And so we see that Jesus arrives on the scene a few days late, that Lazarus has already died. And so there are folks from out of town or from neighboring towns that are already at the house. Professional mourners are already there. Those who are close friends and family are already there. They're there mourning with them, which is the custom that mourners come and they help you cry and they help you mourn and they help you, you know, throw the ashes and different things like that. They're rituals that they go through when they're mourning the dead. And so everyone has already arrived, and Jesus and his disciples were the last ones to arrive. And so when Jesus comes, and of course that human side of him, he realizes that his friend Lazarus has died. He gets a little choked up. He gets a little upset. How do we know that? Verse 33 says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. So how do we know that these ladies were Jewish? Because their friends that came to weep with them were Jews. And we realize that the Gentiles at this particular time did not mix with the Jews. The Jews worship separately, they live separately, they really did not have too much to do with the Gentiles. And so we know for a fact that these ladies were Jews and that they recognized that the Messiah had come. And so when Jesus came and saw all the people weeping and the sisters weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This is a cute way of saying that he was upset. He was emotionally distraught over the fact that his friend had died. And so he asked them in verse 34, it says, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? He wanted to know which cave they had put his friend in, because at this particular time where they lived, they used caves as mausoleums. And so they would pretty much do the necessary things that they needed to do with the body, and they would put the body into the cave, and they would seal it with a stone. And so they showed him where Lazarus was, where they had laid the body, and he went, still groaning. Look at verse 38. It says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And so we see that emotionally, Jesus was very upset over the loss of his friend. Now, isn't that something that although he knew that he could bring him back to life, he was still upset over the loss of his friend? And so I want you to understand that God sees your pain. He understands when you go through trauma. He understands what you go through when you've lost a loved one through death, through divorce, or whatever it is, trauma that you've gone through, those who have gone through rape and incest and different things like that, or they've had a miscarriage with a baby. Whatever your situation is, perhaps you're struggling with your mortgage, or we've had some folks that have been foreclosed with their houses. Whatever your situation is, dear friend, I want you to understand that Jesus sees your pain. Perhaps you are one that when you were young, someone talked you into having an abortion, and you realize that now that you're older, you're having to live with the pain of the fact that you took the life of a child. I don't know what your pain is, what you're going through. What I do know is, dear friend, that God loves you. He cares about you. He understands your situation. Jesus, when he came and he saw Mary crying and Martha crying and all their friends crying, it troubled him. It bothered him. He was concerned. He knew that he could bring him back to life, but he still cried with them. Dear friend, although God knows that he can help you, he still understands your pain, and he still sees what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. And I want you to know, dear friend, just go ahead and prepare your heart for Jesus, because he's already preparing some great things for you. The Bible says that he was troubled. And, of course, in verse 38, he said when he came to the grave, it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. In verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And so Jesus, after crying with them for a few minutes, I hope you know, dear friend, that when you have a friend who's going through, don't talk about your friend. Don't talk about your friend. Don't mistreat your friend. But realize that your friend needs encouragement. Your friend needs strength. And when your friend is going through, you've got to help your friend. Don't allow your friend to go through by themselves. Don't talk about them. When a person is down, they don't need other people to talk about them. What they need is a shoulder to cry on. What they need is someone to take out the word of God and tell them what the word of God says about their situation. Let them know that God is able to help them. Let them know that God is able to strengthen them. Dear friend, right now, God sees and he knows all. Jesus got to that gravesite and he said, roll the stone away. And in every situation, when God is about to do a miracle, there's always going to be someone that has something to say. And so one of the sisters spoke up. It was Martha. And Martha said in verse 39, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. I want you to know, dear friend, that when you're on the brink of a miracle, there's always going to be someone who wants to stop you from getting your miracle. There's always going to be someone who tries to put a stumbling block in your way. There's always going to be someone with something negative to say. But I want you to learn how to ignore negative people. Here it is that Jesus was on the brink are performing a miracle, and Martha had to remind him of how long Lazarus had been dead. Dear friend, listen to me very carefully. It does not matter how long you have been struggling with that situation. It does not matter how long your family member has been struggling with that situation. If it's a friend that you're praying for, if it's a family member that you're praying for, if it's a family member that's been sick or that has been addicted to some type of behavior or some type of substance, it does not matter how long they have been in that situation. It does not matter how long you have been in that situation. I want you to know that you are on the brink of a miracle. God still has great things in store for you, and he's about to do it right now. Jesus said to her in verse 40, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So he had to remind her, Didn't I already tell you that God is about to do something big right in front of your eyes? Didn't I already remind you that God is about to show you his glory? Didn't I already remind you that if you would just believe, you would see God do some great things in your life? Dear friend, do I have to remind you of who God is? Do I have to remind you of how great he is? Do I have to remind you that he is able? Oh, my goodness, I feel the presence of God. Do I have to remind you, dear friend, that your situation is not too hard for God? He is going to do it. He is a miracle-working God. He is able to do great and awesome things in your life, dear friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I give God praise. Jesus told them, roll the stone away. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 41, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so Jesus once again reminds the people that he was sent by God himself, that he is who he said that he was. He is the I am that I am. And he looks up and he thanks God and he says, Lord, I just want them to see your glory. And so after that, Jesus in verse 43, after he had spoken that, he with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Dear friend, I wish you would just call your own name or call the name of your family member and just say, come forth, come forth. God is doing great things in your life right now. Come forth. I want you to call your own name and just say, come forth. I want you to realize that God is doing miraculous things in your life right now. He is able to do it again and again and again and again. All he wants is for you to believe. Lazarus, come forth. Immediately after Jesus said it, I want you to know that Lazarus came out of the grave. He was still bound in the grave clothes that they had wrapped him in, but they were able to unwrap him out of those grave clothes, and he was able to rejoin his family. Verse 44 says, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Whatever you face, oh, I feel the presence of God. Whatever you face, you are facing right now, whatever it is that has seemed so impossible, I want you to know that God is telling you to just believe him, trust him, put your faith in him. God still hears and answers prayers. Prepare your heart for Jesus. Prepare your life for Jesus. Sometimes we have put so many self-made problem-solving techniques to work that we forget that God does not need our techniques. He does not need our antics. He does not need all of our little gadgets that we use to help us solve our own problems. He does not need our friends, our family, and all these other people. Now, don't get me wrong. Friends and family are fine. But there are times in your life when you just have to stand still and just see God do it. He doesn't always want you to go to someone for advice. He wants you to come to him. He doesn't always want you to go and have someone fix it with money or fix it for you in however else they fix it. He wants you to trust him. He is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All money belongs to him. All houses belong to him. All land belongs to him. All food belongs to him. Everything on this earth belongs to God. And whatever you need, dear friend, he can supply all your need. I also want to remind you that after God has done a miracle for you, that you need to surrender your life to him and ask him to use you to bless someone else. We are not just Christians to keep the word of God to ourselves, but God has called us so that we could go forth and tell someone else about Jesus. And so, dear friend, I pray that you are encouraged today. I pray that you will also go out and encourage someone else. What good is it if you are encouraged and you never encourage anyone else? Dear friend, don't keep the good news to yourself. Go out and tell someone else the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is Lord of your life. I just want to continue to encourage you today, dear friend. Don't give up, but hold on. Prepare yourself for Jesus, because Jesus has a miracle on the way just for you. Loose him and let him go is what Jesus said to Lazarus. And I want you to know, dear friend, he is saying the same thing to you and to your situation. He wants you to be loosed and to go free. Our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Our closing scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear friend, God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your family. And all he wants is that you would surrender your life to him, that you would serve him, and that you would see the glory of God manifested in your life and manifested in the lives of your family members. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory and honor and praise tonight. I thank you for this time of study. I thank you for this time that we are able to break bread together. I pray for your sons and your daughters everywhere, that you will continue to bless them, keep them, continue to strengthen them. Dear Lord, I pray for those that are sick. Lord God, you know them. You know the desires of their heart. I pray for healing in the inner eardrum, God. Someone has been struggling with their inner eardrum. I don't know if it's a balancing issue or sickness, oh God, some kind of infection. But Lord God, I thank you for completely healing their inner eardrum right now. I pray, Lord God, for someone who has been suffering several days with fevers, God, and the fever doesn't seem to be breaking. I pray right now, oh God, I am agreeing with someone, a family member of that individual right now. I'm agreeing with them right now that fever will be broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, I just thank you right now, God, that you're delivering that one that has been bound, having mental health issues, oh God, having, Lord God, all kind of spirits trying to talk to them. Oh God, you are breaking that yoke right now. I speak to that one right now, God. We break, oh God, that demonic oppression right now off of their mind in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for complete healing and deliverance. Oh God, we speak to that one right now that has been having arthritis in their arms and in their legs. Father God, we thank you, God, for complete healing of arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for that one, God, that has been having, Lord God, a lot of sinus problems, Lord God. God, we pray that you would just heal right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, there's someone that is highly allergic to peanuts. Highly allergic to peanuts. God, you are taking that peanut allergy right now. You're healing them right now in the name of Jesus. Mashato kosheketa. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Emotional problems, trauma, or nightmares right now. Someone is having nightmares. I rebuke, oh God, that nightmare in the name of Jesus. They shall have no more nightmares. They'll be able to rest in peace. I thank you for doing it right now in the name of Jesus. I give you glory, honor, and praise right now. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing palm, your healing balm of Gilead going out throughout the nations right now, God. We pray for nations everywhere, God. We pray for those in Ireland and Australia, New Zealand, oh God, in Alaska, God. Father, oh God, in the Netherlands right now, Lord Jesus. We pray, oh God, for those in Russia. Oh gosh, Lord God, we pray for those in Israel right now. In the name of Jesus, Iran and Iraq. And Father, oh God, we just pray right now Isheketa, Yugoslavia, what used to be Yugoslavia right now. Father, we just pray for those right now in the Caribbean, God, Trinidad and Tobago, the Cayman Islands, St. Martin, oh God, Jamaica, Lord God, Barbados, Lord God, and Nevis, and all those St. Croix and St. Thomas, and all the different islands, oh God. Some of them, I don't even know their names, God, but we thank you right now, Lord God, for all the African nations right now, the continent of Africa right now, Kenya and Uganda and Nigeria, God, up in the Congo and Sudan and South Sudan, oh God, all the different areas of Africa, Lord, right now, Liberia, oh God, we pray for the continent of Africa right now, God, that you would touch your people, God, that you would strengthen them right now, God, you know every need that they're having right now. Oh, we bless your name. We praise you, oh God. We pray for those in France and in Haiti, oh God, in different parts of the world, in Canada, oh God. We know that you're able, oh God, to remember your people. We thank you, God, that strongholds are being broken. Oh God, in Asia, Lord, right now in China, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the people in Japan and in Korea and in Singapore, oh God. Lord, in India right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the pastors that are laboring in the field. God, for the orphans that they're helping, oh God. For the families that are needing food and shelter and clothing right now, God. We pray, God, for the missionaries on the field right now, God. Remember your people. We know that you're able, oh God, to help them. We know that you're able, oh God, to sustain them. And we thank you for your sustaining power. We thank you for your sustaining strength right now for your people. Oh, we give you glory. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praise. Majesty, dominion, and power belonging unto you right now. We thank you, Lord God, for your people that are standing strong, that are holding on, that are lifting up the banner of Jesus Christ. We thank you for them right now, Lord, and we give you glory and we give you honor. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God, for healing the sick, Lord, for resurrecting those who are weak, for resurrecting those who need strength right now. We give you glory. We give you honor. Majesty, dominion, and power, Lord, belonging unto you. We thank you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Dear friend, we just give God praise. We give glory and honor to him who is high and lifted up. And I pray, dear friend, that you will continue to hold on just a little while longer. We pray that you would be blessed, that your family will be blessed. You have been listening to Vision Evangelist Faith Reed. Stay with us for just a few more minutes as we listen to one or two songs. God bless you.
Never. shackles, obstacles, or struggles that you may face, remember, God's grace is made perfect in our time of weakness. All we need to do is just hold on.
Allowing us to use their music. And as we sign off, Second Chance Ministries, too blessed to be stressed. God bless you. May the peace of God be with you and your family.
Ah! Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me and Ronnie got the blessings are running down. Me and David. Imagine close and dark, because it's over and over. What's it to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the anointed. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm